The Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involves varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Know the difference. Now, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News.
Know the difference. It's one team, one plan, one fee. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Action-packed hour. Let's get right to it. Derek Felsky, Chief Investment Officer, and Dave Spano, President and CEO. And time for that week in review.
Yes, thanks, Danny. And we did have a good week, up 2.3% for the week, Derek. But it did fade off Friday afternoon.
Right. I mean, we had a weak PMI number that came out shortly after the opening. That caused some people to take some profits because we did have a very sharp rally. All the major averages at one point eclipsed the 50-day moving averages. We got all sorts of mixed results. American Express, for example, had a great quarter. The revenues were up 31%, so consumers are clearly spending. And we also saw an interesting report from a home builder. They actually reduced guidance, but the stock traded up. And that's the kind of thing you want to see when you're trying to approximate a bottom.
You showed me a chart earlier in the week that showed prices, earnings, and of course, earnings per share. And that was really an interesting chart. And I think our listeners would like to hear about it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we've talked about a lot is the negativity that's out there. And in my opinion, a lot of this bad news has been discounted. For example, the Russell 2000 is only up 4% since the end of 2019, yet revenues are 27% higher and earnings are 72% higher. So this carnage has really discounted a lot of bad news. You can make the same comment about the S&P 500, up 17% since 2019, but earnings are up 40%. So the stock market is on sale.
Yeah, and so you look at earnings continuing to do well. We were concerned that there was going to be earnings revisions down. In other words, the analysts would take some of their estimates down, but they have stayed pretty even. In fact, they have gone up slightly while the PE ratio and prices have come down significantly, making it much more valuable, as you just said. So that's the reason why when people are going through their portfolios, and as we continue to get earnings, it's going to be really important, especially sector by sector.
Right. I mean, as you're kind of alluding to, it takes a lot of E to offset PE because it's the PE that's the more volatile component in the valuation metrics. And oftentimes people expect earnings to go down or revisions to be negative, and they therefore think stocks should go down. But that's not necessarily the case. That's why you have to pay attention to the multiple you're paying for these.
And we've talked, Derek, a lot about the PE ratio of the entire S&P 500 that had been trading above 20. And we said, you know, one of two things have got to happen. Either earnings per share are going to have to go up significantly, or the PE ratio is going to have to come down. And that's really what happened. And now we're trading at a much more long-term value of about 16 on the S&P 500. And that really is a much more reasonable number.
It certainly is. And, you know, that's actually the average return over the last 30 years is a PE of 16. But if you think about it, interest rates over the last 30 years are still significantly below average. So on a relative basis, equity still looks somewhat appealing versus fixed income.
And the last thing I want to get to is, of course, bear markets, of which we are in, that are accompanied by recessions. And we're going to have to watch. We have a GDP report coming out next week. We'll have to see if we are in a recession right now. But bears accompanied by recessions have different results than bear markets by themselves.
Well, that's absolutely right. In fact, if we avoid a recession, the average bear market has declined 28% in the last 6 months. Well, guess what? The market peaked on January 5th, so that's a little over 6 months ago. So if we can avoid a recession, you could potentially say the damage has been done. However, if we do have a recession, the decline is going to be more significant, on average about 38%, and last a lot longer, which is why, you know, the question is, are we going to have a V bottom or a U bottom? Our guess is somewhere in between.
There's more to come. Derek Felsky is our Chief Investment Officer. Dave Spano, our President and CEO. Looking for the Week in Review? You can listen to it on demand this weekend at our YouTube channel or in the Axiom. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, Sunday, July 24th. We're going to be right back. 92.5 Fox News.
It starts with a call. With one call, you can start seeing your future more clearly. If your financial picture is cloudy because you're getting conflicting tax, investment, and estate planning advice, help is a call or a click away. Annex Wealth Management's team works to get your investment plan in line with your tax plan and your estate plan. Build confidence with one team working to create one comprehensive plan as a fee-only fiduciary. Annex Wealth Management. One team, one plan, one fee. AnnexWealth.com.
We're back on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News for Sunday, July 24th. I'm Danny Clayton. In the studio, Derek Felsky, our Chief Investment Officer, Dave Spano, our President and CEO.
Thanks, Danny. You know, we talk about currencies a lot and around the world. And folks, you have to remember that currencies are in relation to another currency. It's not on an absolute term. And we're paying a lot of attention to that because of the strength of the U.S. dollar, especially what's happening with the euro now. Nearly at parity, Derek, and that has a direct impact on earnings of United States companies.
Right. It makes our products more expensive to foreigners. The thing about the currency, though, is when I think about the Eurozone, you know, they've got Putin, who's basically playing games with their natural gas supplies. They've got inflation, and they've got currencies that are being devalued. So people in Europe are really feeling a strain, and we saw that in that PMI number. They're actually in a full contraction mode. And they actually started to raise rates earlier this week. So a lot of downward pressure there. But again, the valuations of those stocks is a lot more reasonable than the United States.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the European Central Bank, which is equivalent to our Federal Reserve, raising interest rates for the first time in 11 years is not something they really want to do, especially in light of the strength of the U.S. dollar. But I think they almost have to do it at this point.
Right. And as you like to point out, the Fed has a dual mandate. The ECB only has a single mandate, and that is price suppression, essentially, going back to the issues that Germany had in World War I and after World War II with hyperinflation. So it's going to be a problem over there. But, you know, again, the U.S. companies, small caps in particular, are mostly insulated, and that's a good thing.
And that's why when you go through your portfolio, folks, you know, we talk about small caps or companies based here in the United States that sell abroad have a distinct advantage when their currency has a wind in their sails. The next thing I want to kind of get to, as you mentioned it slightly, is the PMI report. You know, above 50 shows an expansion of an economy, and below 50 shows a contraction. And we got a flash reading this week, which was really interesting.
Right. The flash report for July was at 47. So that suggests the U.S. economy is contracting. I think we all know that to some degree. And we're starting to hear it from more and more companies. We saw Seagate, for example, a key technology company, guided down. Stock traded off 8% on Friday. I mentioned American Express before. Freeport-McMoRan, a leading copper producer, also guided down a little bit because of lower copper prices. So a lot of these inflationary trends are starting to resolve themselves. And some companies are benefiting and others are not.
Yeah, and we're watching the market trying to form a bottom, we suspect, or at least trying to have the bears take control of the argument. And that's what we're watching, the fact that, you know, the bears did not have a great week this week, but we'll have to see where we go from here.
Well, and the other thing that I think we're going to spend a lot of time talking about on Tuesday in our investment committee is about the PE cycle. And what we've seen is in every Fed hiking cycle since 1980, the PE on forward earnings began to expand when the Fed was halfway through its hiking cycle. We have yet to see the PE expand measurably so far, but if we're more than halfway there, we would expect to see that start to support prices from a different aspect.
And, you know, one last thing that we're watching is, you know, we call them chips. Obviously, we're talking about semiconductors, and there is a bill circulating that has support from both the Republicans and the Democrats to start chip making here in the United States. And that has such a direct impact, not only on just semiconductor chips, but all the way through to cars and anything that takes those type of chips. We're going to continue to watch those reports as well.
And actually, there was a really good tidbit from Volvo about that. They mentioned that they're seeing an easing of the semiconductor crunch in terms of supply chain bottlenecks. So that's a positive. The other thing, it's a $50 billion bill. And I know people might be tempted to run out and buy a bunch of semiconductor stocks on that news, but it takes a long time for Washington to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, that's funny. They can spend $50 billion in a day. And the last thing we want to touch on is, of course, investor sentiment. And it goes through cycles. Where do you feel we are right now?
I think we're kind of, you know, approaching a bottom. I mean, I've talked to any number of people that are totally despondent. Some have run to cash. I advise them not to do things like that. The only thing that I guess hasn't really happened is we haven't seen the full-scale capitulation you normally see at a bottom, like of the VIX north of 40, things of that nature, big, you know, limit down move or something like that. But it's possible that investors just aren't that extended in terms of their net exposure, particularly from hedge funds and the rest. So maybe that's why we haven't seen it.
Derek Felsky, Chief Investment Officer, Dave Spano, President and CEO, Annex Wealth Management. We got them for the rest of the hour. Great sample of our work and the way we think on the website. Hit it up, annexwealth.com. Know the difference. Click that Get Started button. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. We are going to be right back on 92.5 Fox News.
Comfort shows. You'd think with all the different shows streaming, you'd watch something different every night.
Instead, the list of shows you plan to watch grows, but you're stuck rewatching Friends for the 48th time. Why do we do that? Because it's comfortable. It's the same for financial advice. You want financial advice? You could search Google or YouTube or Reddit and find options from experts of all stripes. Even then, we resort to behaviors that make us feel comfortable, even if that behavior is nothing. At Annex Wealth Management, we understand that during times like this, it's tempting to do nothing at all, but that means you're back to watching repeats again. It's time to change the channel. Take a look at where you are and where you're headed. Reevaluate your goals. Understand what you own and why. Put your plan through our rigorous financial analysis. Annex can help. AnnexWealth.com. Set up a time when we can talk, know the difference, and work with a fee-only fiduciary. Annex Wealth Management.
Tom Parks is our Director of Retirement Plan Services. I also gave him another title, Headline Challenger. Hey, Tom.
Hey, bring it on.
Here's the headline. What's in your 401k? Question mark. For more investors, just one fund. What's wrong with that headline?
The just one fund thing is what's of concern to me. So this is an article about target date retirement funds.
Okay.
And most target date retirement funds, all of them really, are funds of funds. The whole idea is it's a one-stop shop where you can pick one investment selection, but in doing that, get access to a bunch of other mutual funds all at once.
Let's go back a step. So a target date fund is, say, like it's 2030, the year that you would retire.
Yeah.
And so all of the investments in this one fund are aimed at 2030. But it's more than one fund. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So that was my concern with the title of the article, was the one fund is kind of a misnomer. I think it's a little bit misleading. Or maybe they just didn't understand how these things work. For those of you involved in a retirement plan, you probably have access to a suite of target date funds, and you'll recognize them because it's a series of funds. They all have the same name, company name, life cycle, lifestyle, whatever, and then there's a year. Basically, they're all the same fund of funds. The only difference is the composition, the asset allocation within the funds itself. So the idea is it's a one-stop shop. We always tell people somebody's got to be watching your money. So if you're not going to do it, then have somebody else do it for you.
That's why these things have gotten popular.
Yeah. Over 85% of inflows in 401k plans go into target date retirement funds.
And didn't they find, like in the old days, there were almost too many choices? People got a little bit bewildered.
Yeah. 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 And you know what? Too many choices can be a bad thing.
Okay.
Because it's the paralysis by analysis
right.
issue. And if it means that you're not going to save for retirement, then that's a problem.
So somebody plops into a 2030 target fund. They look at it in 2029?
Theoretically. I mean, I would recommend looking at it a little bit more frequently than that. But that is the idea.
Okay.
I mean, it really is. So like I said, the underlying investments are all pretty much the same within the target date series from the 2010 to the 2060 or whatever you want to call it. But the allocation from how much is in equities to how much is in fixed income and other asset classes, that's what changes. So the idea is if I'm going to retire in 30 years, it'll start out as a higher risk, more equity allocation now. And then as you get closer to retirement, it'll slowly change from a higher equity to a higher fixed income allocation over time.
And that seems to make perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, yeah. That is what people should be doing. The thing is, not all people who are going to retire in 2050 are made alike. So it's definitely better than nothing, but it's one of those things that, you know, if you want to really dial in your personal risk tolerance or investment strategy, you're going to want to put in a little more effort than that.
Okay, if there's three different companies, everybody's got a 2030 target fund, are they identical?
No. Great question. So there's a lot of scrutiny from the Department of Labor on how plan fiduciaries choose the target date fund vintage that they offer in their plan. So there are a lot of differences. There's active management versus passive. So passive, you think of index funds. So you can either have actively managed target date fund or passively managed, or there are some that are a blend of the two. The other thing is that glide path, the way that the investment allocation changes from high equity to higher fixed income.
Think of it a plane landing, right? Coming down in altitude, it's gliding down toward the runway and it's changing its allocation.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And that's what all the graphs look like.
Okay.
So, but what you'll see is if you take three or four target date funds and you put them all on the same graph, what you'll find is the point where the change starts,
mm-hmm.
how many years before retirement, that's not always the same. How steep is that change? You know, does it change very quickly from equities to fixed income? All of those things are very different from one target date series to the next. So there's a lot more to it than just picking one.
Tom, you've used that phrase before. It's called to and through.
Sure.
And that's T-O, to and through.
Yep. So the glide path goes either to retirement or through retirement, right? So let's say that your assumed retirement age is 67 years old. The fund is changing from a higher equity to a lower equity exposure, and it does that gradually over time. There are some target date funds where on that retirement date at your age 67, it flatlines and they say, okay, from now on, it's going to be 55% equities, 45% fixed income, or whatever the allocation ends up being. The through strategy is one where they say, well, you know what, you're going to be retired for a long time. We should continue to invest that money even after you've retired in a higher equity exposure for a few more years until we finally wind it down at some point after that retirement date. So it's just two fundamentally different approaches to how they manage that glide path.
Your team at Annex helps employers set up 401k programs for their employees. Is that complicated?
Well, it's not complicated. There's a series of steps. The first thing we usually do is we come in and we take a look at how is the plan working right now. There is usually a plan provider. So if your plan's at Fidelity or it's at Voya or wherever it happens to be, we'll take a look at that, see how things are going. And then we look at the investment lineup and we see how, is it a good lineup? Are there some opportunities for enhancement there? If we make a determination that the whole thing needs to be done over, then we work with the employers to go through a due diligence process of interviewing new providers and trying to figure out what's going to be the best arrangement for them.
Tom Parks, Director of Retirement Plan Services and Headline Challenger. Hey, thanks for jumping on.
Thanks for having me.
Inflation isn't going away anytime soon. As the cost of everything from food to vacations to your electric bill rises, you may wonder if your retirement plans are still on track. Annex Wealth Management can help. It starts at annexwealth.com. Click the Get Started button. From there, our in-house planning team will create your wealth metric, a snapshot of where you are and where you're headed. Wealth Metric will help you understand the impact inflation may have on your plans. Get started today. Visit annexwealth.com.
Know the difference. Making sure your beneficiaries are properly designated, really important. Jill Martin is our estate planning attorney at Annex. She heads our estate planning team, and she joins us to talk about this. Hello, Jill.
Hi, Danny.
We hear about this often. Not keeping beneficiaries current can be a costly mistake. How many times have you seen the story about where somebody's like ex-wife wound up with money?
Too many.
Let's do a segment about that sometime. So we're going to cover a fictitious couple that illustrates why this can be complicated and why paying attention is so important. And we're also going to define some terms. So it's a story problem. This isn't the train leaving westbound at 20 miles an hour and the other.
Not quite, but we could definitely turn it into that if we wanted to.
You have a hypothetical situation.
I do. So what we've got is we've got Doug and Sarah, who they are on their second marriage. They both have children from a prior marriage.
But none together, right?
None together.
Okay, and that's where this is important.
And that would be our hypothetical with the train. Let's get it really complicated. So I didn't want to go too complicated to start. So Doug has a daughter, Mary. And Sarah has twin sons, Brad and Chad.
Perfect.
Okay. So we're just talking about the IRAs here and to not overly complicate it. But Doug has a $500,000 IRA. He's named Sarah as his spouse.
His wife. All right.
As the primary beneficiary. Okay. And then he's got his daughter, Mary, as the contingent beneficiary. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Okay. Sarah also has an IRA, about $200,000. She names Doug, her husband, as the primary beneficiary, and then Brad and Chad are the contingent beneficiaries, okay?
Okay, so far we're pretty clean.
Right. So let's talk about exactly what that is, right? So a primary beneficiary is the named person or people that if they are alive when you die, they will take control of that account and that asset so that it's theirs to do with as they see fit. Pretty simple.
Sure.
A contingent or an alternate beneficiary or a secondary beneficiary, depending on the type of account, that person or people are only going to take if all of the primary beneficiaries have died before you did. Okay. So
is that a stopgap sort of? Because if your primary changes, or say like they died, you would need to put in new primaries, right?
Yeah. It's basically so you don't have to put in a new primary beneficiary because that happens a lot where you name a primary, that person has died. So then it's the contingents that take. But what people get really confused about, especially in second marriage situations, is what that contingent does not do. It doesn't mean that in Doug's situation, it doesn't mean that Sarah gets that IRA while she's alive, and then when Sarah passes, it doesn't go to Mary. Mm. And people get a little confused by that. They just kind of assume that Doug's IRA is ultimately going to end up with Mary because she's the contingent. The reality is, what happens is Sarah gets the beneficiary. She's the beneficiary. She gets that IRA. It's her account to do with as she sees fit. So she can turn around and put her own beneficiaries on that.
So in a case where Doug would die first, his IRA goes to his wife, Sarah.
Correct.
Okay.
And then what she normally would do is she would either combine that with her existing IRA or open a new account. But she has full control over that account to do with as she sees fit. So guess what? If she gets remarried for a third time, she can name her now third husband on that as the beneficiary if she wants to. So what happens is Mary is never really going to get that IRA unless Sarah specifically names her as one of the beneficiaries. So instead, it would probably go to Sarah's children, which would be Brad and Chad, not to Mary.
Is that being disinherited?
It is a little bit, right?
That's the word you always see in the movie. I'm writing you out of the will.
Yeah,
you're disinherited. So right. She's out, right?
She is, right? Unless Doug has provided for her in some other capacity as part of his estate plan. As it relates to this particular account that we're talking about, because Sarah was alive when Doug passed away, that's Sarah's accounts. Mary will never get anything from that.
We're talking about making sure beneficiaries are properly designated. So this is a hypothetical. Doug and Sarah, their second marriage. They both have adult children. Doug has one daughter. Sarah has two sons. So if Sarah dies first, her IRA goes to Doug, the husband. He could combine it with that IRA, and he's got full control as well to name new beneficiaries.
Correct. Or what he could do is he combines it with his existing IRA. And if he doesn't update the beneficiaries, what happens is his daughter Mary is the contingent beneficiary. So as long as she's alive when he passes, now that full $700,000 becomes hers. So now Brad and Chad have been disinherited from Sarah's IRA.
Okay, so that can get bumpy then. Okay, in the case where they would die simultaneously.
So dying simultaneously is the one time where both sets of children would inherit here, okay? And simultaneously can mean multiple different things depending on what the estate plan says. Might be within a 5-day period, it could be within a 60-day period, depending on the terms. But basically what happens is both Doug and Sarah are treated as being predeceased to each other, which means there is no primary beneficiary on either one of their accounts that's living, which means then it passes to their contingent beneficiaries. So Doug's IRA goes to Mary and Sarah's IRA goes to Brad and Chad. Mm, so that's mm-hmm. the one situation where the alternate or contingent beneficiaries would take.
See, and those are solid because those are clear lines. It might not be, quote, fair, right? And that's where the human part of the estate plan comes in.
It is. And we use the second marriage situation here is that's where things get a little muddier, right? If it's a first marriage and Doug leaves everything to Sarah and Sarah leaves everything to their three kids from their marriage, that's not as much of an issue because there isn't a disinheritance there. It's with these second marriages and blended families that we see a lot of unintended consequences because people don't fully understand the contingent beneficiary situation.
And these are things you review when you're doing estate plans.
Absolutely. That is a critical piece. So doing the estate plan and the documents is really important, but then making sure that your beneficiary designations align with what your true intent is to make sure that plan follows through with what you want to have happen.
Amen to that. Jill Martin, our estate planning attorney at Annex Wealth Management, heading up our estate planning team. Thank you. Good stuff.
You're welcome.
Inflation isn't going away anytime soon. As the cost of everything from food to vacations to your electric bill rises, you may wonder if your retirement plans are still on track. Annex Wealth Management can help. It starts at annexwealth.com. Click the Get Started button. From there, our in-house planning team will create your wealth metric, a snapshot of where you are and where you're headed. Wealth Metric will help you understand the impact inflation may have on your plans. Get started today. Visit annexwealth.com.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Robert Chastain, Branch Director in Wealth Management at Annex Wealth Management Naples. Hey, Robert, welcome back.
How are you, Danny?
Not bad. Let's talk about early retirement. For decades, 65 was considered the standard age to transition to retirement. But in recent years, the idea of stepping away earlier has become appealing to some Americans. You saw that a lot in the early COVID era. People just threw in the towel. They said, I'm done. But if you're thinking about retiring early, you need to carefully weigh the life-changing decision because it is life-changing. Ultimately, the chance to leave employment in the past comes with some great things to think about with some concerns that you need to sort out. And that's what we're going to cover with Robert. There's some pros and cons to early retirement. It takes planning. It takes careful consideration. And Robert, there is a long list of reasons why retiring early sounds great.
It really does sound great. You know, you get freedom from office. You cut those strings. Maybe you work from home 3-5 days a week. You don't have to report to a boss anymore. You become your own boss. And you plan your time your way. You know, and the other thing that frees you up to do is pursue some other passions that maybe you've put on the back burner, whether it's a charity, a local hospital. I mean, it just frees you up to have some choices instead of somebody else making choices for you. And then, you know, you have time to kind of improve your life, work on your health, your exercise, your fitness, you know, maybe see a few doctors that you've skipped many appointments over the years. And then, you know, you can choose to do additional work or maybe different work that you're really interested in. I mean, I've had 3 different careers, and it's just interesting to look at something different if you have the option.
We're with Robert Chastain, branch director and a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management in Naples. We're talking about early retirement. We just covered the pros. Now we're on to the cons of early retirement. And we bring these up because within the conversation with our clients, we want to have these conversations because we're not going to sugarcoat things. But Robert, there are some things that people need to think about if they're considering early retirement from the con side.
That right there is where you would want us to bring in our planning team, our tax planning team, our estate planning team. Let's make sure if you are going to leave the workforce early that you have confidence and you're comfortable that you're not going to outlive your assets. And here's the other thing. Have you considered the insurance? Because health insurance takes a big bite out of the apple for anybody that's younger than 65 and they're not on Medicare. It's just a good thing to have our planning team take a deep dive into whatever you have going on, and then you have a lot more confidence in it.
You know, a lot of people find that their whole being was kind of wrapped up in what they did, right? What, you know, going into the office, being that person, being busy all the time, and all of a sudden they might experience a loss of meaning.
Without a doubt, you lose that mission, your purpose in life. I stepped aside from work for 5 years and I lost that. It became depressing not having that daily mission. What do I need to accomplish today? What do I need to get done? And so it's also good to have a plan on what you're going to do with your time. The more productive you are with your time, the better you feel about yourself and happier retirement.
You know, a lot of people talk about how dangerous being lonely is. And if somebody retires early, maybe they're a widow or widower, and they're just lonely. That's a problem, isn't it?
It sure is. And the isolation that we even saw during the COVID shutdowns, there are a lot of people that became depressed being separated from other human beings. So human interaction, human touch is a big thing for all of us human beings. We like to share our ideas and have conversations with other people. It's very healthy.
Okay, with the pros that we talked about, even with the cons that we talked about, Robert, if somebody came to you and said they really want to retire early, it would be an open conversation with Annex Wealth Management to see if a plan can be built in order to do it. But we're going to take somebody through all these pros and cons, aren't we?
We sure are. We're going to take you through all those steps. We're going to engage all of our teams here, and we're going to either prove to you pro or negative that you are ready to retire if you want to, or maybe you should work a few more years.
You know, it takes a plan, folks. We do investment, retirement planning, tax planning. We do estate planning. We do it as a fee-only fiduciary. We say it often, and we say it proudly. Know the difference. Our website, annexwealth.com, great place to start. Great place to click that Get Started button. Robert Chastain, Wealth Manager and Branch Director at Annex Wealth Management Naples. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Danny. This was a great topic today.
More to come. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Going to be right back, 92.5 Fox News.
So many streaming options, yet we end up watching repeats of our favorite show again.
again instead of something new. We do that because it's comfortable. Same for financial advice. We do what makes us feel comfortable, even if that means we do nothing. At Annex Wealth Management, we understand during times like this, it's tempting to do nothing. It's time to change the channel. Take a look at where you're at and where you're headed. AnnexWealth.com. Know the difference and work with a fee-only fiduciary. Annex Wealth Management.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Welcome back, Amy Bremer, CFP and Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management.
Hi, Danny.
Isn't this a well-timed discussion? In a world where everything we need is going up in price, we're at a point where that kind of inflation is colliding with another type of inflation, and that is lifestyle inflation. How do we define lifestyle inflation?
That's a great question, Danny. So we determine lifestyle inflation as lifestyle creep, and that's where your wages increase, so you increase your lifestyle. Maybe you upgrade to the king size super value meal, or you upgrade to the nicer level car when before you would have gotten the entry level car. So just death by a million cuts sort of things, only in relation to money.
So right at the top, Amy, we're going to point out that in no way are we saying that people shouldn't enjoy themselves and the fruits of their labor. In fact, this is more of a cautionary piece for maybe younger folks or people starting out, that we're going to offer up some insights that might lead to a more fulfilling future. Maybe the subtitle should be Mo Money, Mo Problems,
yeah,
right?
Danny, that's a good one.
Does that happen? And to get at lifestyle inflation, do we need to challenge a status quo?
Yes. So first, please let me interject here and say we are not telling folks that you must take a vow of poverty. We're not the clergy here. You know, we're regular folk working hard for our money and we should be able to enjoy it. But we want to address more the keeping up with the Joneses type mentality where, you know, the neighbor's got the swimming pool. So, oh, hey, I can get a swimming pool too, when swimming pools are really expensive no matter where you live. So we just want to make sure that the lifestyle that you live doesn't exponentially increase in conjunction to the income that you earn.
But it happens.
It does.
It happens all the time?
Not all the time. Some folks have a higher propensity to that than others, and a lot of it is driven by their choice of profession. However, it's really easy to avoid it, and it's to pay yourself first. So one of the ways that I tell folks that I work with at Annex is when you get those annual wage increases, they're nice, you know, 3%, 4%. Sometimes if you had a better year, 5 or 6, put half of it in your 401k. Because a 3% wage increase over 26 pay periods, if you get paid every other week, and then you have income tax taken out of it, which you got to pay the piper, that's not enough really to move the needle on your lifestyle. But if you put it in your 401k, that's going to do great things for your future retirement.
Some people are great at the next suggestion. I'm not. It is to track your spending, make a budget, stick to it. Nobody likes to budget, do they?
No, honestly, budgeting is the worst. It's not fun. And us humans, we like to have fun. But me personally, I track my expenses. So I know when I get to a certain limit that I got to stop spending for the month and I just kick it to next month. There's tons of resources online. Mint.com is a great one. Annex uses something called eMoney, where you can link up your credit cards and your bank accounts through your username and passwords, and it tracks all of your spending. So it fills out a budget for you. It's really easy.
I'm on board with this. Prioritize important expenses.
Yes. So I find that if people have aspirational goals, like we're saving for a down payment on a house, or we really want to go to Europe, or we want to get married, or buy that vacation home, if you have a goal that you're working towards, it's easier to sacrifice today to save for that future goal. So make a goal and have it be a fun one.
Talking about lifestyle inflation or lifestyle creep with Amy Bremer, a CFP and a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. What really might help to fight that lifestyle creep is to, before spending anything else, you need to make sure that you're contributing to tax advantage accounts, right?
Oh my gosh, most definitely. And those tax advantage accounts are your traditional 401k at work or 403b if you're in the private sector, a traditional IRA. And those will get you a tax break today. And then that money grows for your future. And then you just pay the taxes when you're in retirement.
And how about everybody's buddy, if you qualify for it, the HSA?
Oh, I love HSAs. So those ones are triple taxed advantaged. The kicker is you have to have a high deductible health insurance plan. So check with your HR department at work to see if you have one of those available to you. But you get tax break when you put the money in. So it acts kind of like a traditional 401k on the way in. You can invest your HSA money. So all that growth comes tax-free. And then when you take the money out, whether you're working or not, and you spend that money on a qualified medical expense, it's tax-free to you too again.
Yeah, they're pretty darn amazing.
They're awesome.
You touched on this earlier, but let's talk a little bit more about it. You get a raise, you get a bonus, you invest it.
Yes. And, you know, again, getting back to that, you know, we're not clergy, don't take a vow of poverty. You should enjoy the fruits of your labor. You work hard. You should have some joy from that, too. But I say put half of it in your 401k. The compounding over the next 20, 30 years of your life is just exponential growth, and your future self will be grateful for it.
Do you run into lifestyle creep at every age group or every maybe asset level that we deal with at Annex Wealth Management?
That's a great question, Danny. So yes, actually, there are doctors who you think would be living high on the hog, that they've made tons of money, and they do. But there's something called doctoritis, where, you know, you make a lot of money and you spend a lot of money, getting back into that keeping up with the Joneses mentality. And sometimes those folks have find it difficult to retire.
For investment and retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning, we do it as a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. Our website is annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Start the wealth metric process. Amy Bremer, CFP and Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Danny. Take care.
Inflation isn't going away anytime soon. As the cost of everything from food to vacations to your electric bill rises, you may wonder if your retirement plans are still on track. Annex Wealth Management can help. It starts at annexwealth.com. Click the Get Started button. From there, our in-house planning team will create your wealth metric, a snapshot of where you are and where you're headed. Wealth Metric will help you understand the impact inflation may have on your plans. Get started today. Visit annexwealth.com.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Deanne Phillips, Director of Client Learning and Development, CFP and a CDFA at Annex Wealth Management. Welcome back.
Hi.
A lot of talk about people retiring early. We also hear stories about people regretting retiring early. Do you need to go from straight up working to entirely retired? Maybe not. Maybe what you need to consider is trying it on, maybe on a part-time basis. Maybe you can call it retirement dating, and that's what we're going to talk about. Deanne, before any of these steps are in place, you got to have a plan in place.
You absolutely do. You need to understand your cash flows, your resources, the viability of those resources to be able to work in a tax-efficient manner on your behalf.
First suggestion for people trying retirement on in a part-time basis, try out different retirement destinations. I know you've kind of dug into this.
Yeah, I really have. So especially as we get closer to a transition like retirement, we might have this vision that starts to blossom and come into fruition of what we imagine our retirement might be like. We see ourselves there. You know, maybe we've communicated that with a life partner. Maybe we haven't. If we haven't, never is too late to start that communication. But if it involves something dramatically different than the current situation, like a change in locale, then you really need to give that some thought and try it out, and not necessarily as a tourist going to a resort and spending a week there. Really immerse yourself in that different location. So you're checking out the social environment, the weather, the viability and the closeness of the resources you need. Like, how easy is it to get your groceries? What's the accessibility to your healthcare? How are the roads if you have to drive to and from every day on this road? You know, so really checking that out. I can't tell you how many clients I've heard that have gone to different locations, and within a couple of years, they said, you know what? I had no idea the traffic was this bad, or I had no idea it would be such a terrible plane ride just for my family to come or me to see them, and they end up moving again.
Next up, if you're thinking about trying out retirement on a part-time basis, play around with how you're going to use your free time. And that is a big challenge.
Yeah, it's how you're going to fill those 40 hours that you used to spend at work and what you see yourself doing. Are you the babysitting grandparent? And if so, what's the balance of family time and you time, right? Are you the person who likes to volunteer all the time? And what does that look like? Does taking up a hobby you never had before when you were working make your soul sing? The thing about that we have to be careful of in this case is sometimes we, if you're an A-type personality especially, dive into that hobby full time, and all of a sudden it can feel like work.
How about your gardening thing?
All the time. You know, so this is interesting, Danny. So I'm a master gardener volunteer. I thought this would be what I'd want to do in retirement. And I'm a ways off from retirement, but I went ahead and got my certification while I'm still working, because I found that I took a look at my budget and I was spending so much money on my own garden, and I had to do some soul searching and say, is it about my garden or just gardening? And I realized that I could volunteer, that made me happy, to a public ground. I could see the fruition. I was doing the act. That was it. Hey, saves my budget, and kind of taught me a little lesson about balance too for the future.
Interesting you mentioned budget. There's another suggestion is to try living with your retirement budget ahead of time. Why is that important?
You know, one miscalculation that we do tend to see are people thinking they're going to spend less in retirement. I mean, who really wants to cut back on their lives all of a sudden when they've got this extra time? So looking at resources, what they've saved, income, and what they have left over, and maybe if they want to leave anything for future generations, set your goals first. Understanding this exercise and knowing what you can spend is actually a powerful exercise. It gives you a powerful advantage when you're planning for retirement. It builds you up for success because you can make choices then based upon what you can spend. Now, people who start thinking about who they want to be, what they want to do, where they want to do it, who they want to do it with, it really empowers them with knowing they have the resources, and they tend to start their transition into retirement on a happier note, or at least a less frustrating one.
Remember, happy retirement, like a happy relationship, it takes soul searching. You mentioned that earlier. That's a conversation that we have with all of our clients. What is it that you want? What is it that's important to you?
Absolutely. We're not retiring from something. We're retiring to something. And this is important no matter what age you are. You know, we have an awful lot of 40-somethings that are doing the FIRE method and want to retire early as well. Then they've got even more decades of what am I going to do to make me happy? So this is a much deeper holistic conversation than just, am I going to run out of money?
You know, I just read a piece recently. You know, there's this huge thing called the Great Resignation. That's people that retire early, and then it is turned into the Great Regret, and you don't want that.
No, you definitely don't want that. And we all know people, too, who have worked, retired, and then passed away because they have no goals, no ideals, nothing to look forward to. So we are a social race, the human beings. We need, again, to have something to dream for, to think about, to long for, to want to do.
Have you heard the stories of people that have retired and then regretted it?
Yeah, or, you know, also they've hugged onto their dream no matter what. Like we have people who say, okay, I'm done now. I'm getting that boat. I'm getting that RV. And they sell their house. They immerse themselves fully in this. Well, kudos for them. But then they find out, oh gosh, I'm a little seasick. Or that RV breaks down all the time. I don't want to do this. Or it's hard to get my mail. Or now I can't see my kids. So that's why picking a location, finding a lifestyle, and testing the water, kind of dating it a little bit to and through the transition of retirement, can really help you settle into a happier future.
It's important, folks. Get a plan. Investment, retirement planning, tax planning, estate planning. That's what we do as a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference? Our website, annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Start that wealth metric process. Deanne Phillips, Director of Client Learning Development, CFP, CDFA at Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Headlines, texts, emails, the TV, the computer, the phone, even your smartwatch. Seems like it never ends. Market volatility can lead to anxiety and planning paralysis. No surprise Americans report being stressed about their investment and retirement plans. Turn down the media roar. Dial up the planning. Put Annex Wealth Management on your side for investment and retirement guidance that includes tax and estate planning. Head to AnnexWealth.com. Click the Get Started button. Know the difference with a fee-only fiduciary. That's Annex Wealth Management.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? At Annex, we do holistic planning. And maybe that sounds a little new age, but it's not. Let's try the word comprehensive. Clients receive investment and retirement planning, tax planning, estate planning services, and that's where our next guest comes in. Welcome back to the show, estate planning attorney, Annex Wealth Management, Jill Martin. Hey, Jill.
Thanks, Danny. Good to be here.
Got to tell you, I read recently it takes an average of 570 hours to settle an estate. I was shocked. That is a big number.
That is a big number, and I don't know that that's completely accurate. That might be a little on the high end, but it really depends on the complexity of that estate and the asset mix that may be being passed on to the next generation.
You said it, the more valuable the estate, the maybe the longer it takes to settle. And again, this was a company that kind of peddles this service, so maybe they're on the high end to kind of scare people. But settling estate, review me on this, it falls to the executor, right?
It does when we're talking about probate and using a will. Okay, so that's when a quote unquote executor or a personal representative if someone has a revocable trust as part of their estate plan, that duty would fall onto a trustee. In addition, sometimes there isn't one of those people. If everything went through beneficiary designations, it's on the beneficiaries to contact and file the claim forms and all those things. So it can really be divided among a variety of different people that have to quote unquote settle the estate.
I learned that firsthand, right? And you kind of helped me through that. My dad's estate was set up in a beneficiary manner, but still there were a couple things that we needed some help on. Thank you, Annex Wealth Management and Joe Martin. What is the job of the executor?
There's a couple core things that that executor needs to do. Number one is they have to safeguard all of those assets and that property for the benefit of the beneficiaries. Okay, so that means you have to figure out what are all the assets, what are they worth, what do we do with them? You come across situations where the executor isn't necessarily a beneficiary. It might be someone else or a corporate individual that's really there to do what's in the best interest of the family. And so sometimes that executor might have some conflicts of interest as a beneficiary and an executor, and you want to make sure you're finding a good person to do that.
It's funny you bring that up, and we talked about this on the Annex Wealth Management YouTube channel. There's a playlist of 20 videos dedicated to estate planning, and it's worth a visit. We have one that I nicknamed, Should Your Brother-in-Law Bob Be Your Executor? Spoiler alert, I think we determined he should not be.
I agree with you on that one. I think we did in that segment determine that maybe Bob's not the right choice.
We're talking about the hours and the work. Maybe these people have full-time jobs. They're grieving as well if they're a loved one. 570 hours, as you said, is a lot, but 57 hours is a lot. What makes that number climb?
It really depends on the complexity of the assets, right? If you've got a couple of bank accounts, you know, and maybe an annuity or something like that, it's going to be fast and easy. But if you have a house or a piece of real estate, it's going to need to be valued. It's going to need to be cleaned out. Let's think about just how long would it take you to clean out your parents' house? That could be 57 hours in and of itself. If they've been hoarders or they've collected things over the years, there are services you can hire to help do a lot of these things, but you are still the responsible party as that executor that needs to coordinate and manage all of that.
Are executors compensated?
They certainly can be.
So having a well-crafted estate plan, that should be the goal. Let's do estate planning 101. Before you get into the specifics of like assets, you really do need a conversation with the person, right?
You do, right? It used to be that people would feel honored. Oh, you've named me as your executor or your trustee. That might not necessarily be the honor that you think it is. With it comes a lot of work, as we've talked about today. So you want to make sure that the person that you're naming, A, is capable, that they are going to have the time and maybe the expertise to be able to handle finances and manage things like that. You want to be careful about who that is. And that's really, really important because you also want to make sure you're telling them that you've named them in that role. I've talked to many of our clients who they didn't even know they were named in an estate plan to be an executor. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I don't know anything about this person's finances. I don't even know where to start. That makes the process hard too.
How granular should it be? I mean, there are fights, you hear season ticket fights, even like cherished rings or something. That's a good idea to define that stuff, but that could be exhausting. At the very least, the pre-conversation would maybe prevent some nasty fights.
It can. So I always tell people that communication of the estate plan is a critical element in the process. It's usually the last piece that's done, and it doesn't necessarily need to talk about the finances that are involved, but you want to talk to them about the overall plan and the strategy of the estate. That conversation allows you to head off some of those battles. But as we all know, when someone passes away and there's money involved, people can get a little crazy. I've seen awful situations. I've seen three grown men fight over mom's handwritten recipe cards. You can't predict that. You can't put that into the estate plan because you have no idea, right? So you can do as much planning as you can, but sometimes there are just going to be issues that crop up that you can't pre-plan for.
But bottom line, get a plan prior to passing that's going to cut down on the time, the energy, and the cost of settling that estate.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because what happens is if you don't have a plan, then nobody's really in charge. And so then it becomes who's going to take responsibility to do all of these things, because somebody's going to need to step up. And if there's liabilities involved, it very well could be a creditor that's going to step in and deal with this. And that's probably the worst case scenario that you could have.
Annex Wealth Management, we do investment and retirement planning, tax planning, and as you just heard, lots of detail with estate planning. That's what we do. Start at annexwealth.com. Jill Martin, estate planning attorney. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Comfort shows. You'd think with all the different shows streaming, you'd watch something different every night. Instead, the list of shows you plan to watch grows, but you're stuck rewatching Friends for the 48th time. Why do we do that? Because it's comfortable. It's the same for financial advice. You want financial advice? You could search Google or YouTube or Reddit and find options from experts of all stripes. Even then, we resort to behaviors that make us feel comfortable, even if that behavior is nothing. At Annex Wealth Management, we understand that during times like this, it's tempting to do nothing at all, but that means you're back to watching repeats again. It's time to change the channel. Take a look at where you are and where you're headed. Reevaluate your goals. Understand what you own and why. Put your plan through our rigorous financial analysis. Annex can help. AnnexWealth.com. Set up a time when we can talk. Know the difference and work with a fee-only fiduciary. Annex Wealth Management.
We are back. Quick reminder, sign up for The Axiom. That is our free weekly newsletter. You can connect with us on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We're all there. Our YouTube channel, pretty good. 1,500 videos produced by Annex Wealth Management. And also, check out our brand new SWAT podcast with members from the Annex Wealth Management investment team. There's a bunch going on, including our radio shows. I'm Danny Clayton. Dirk Felsky, our Chief Investment Officer. Dave Spano, President and CEO, Annex Wealth Management.
You know, we started the show with a week in review. We want to talk about something that is coming up, and it is a big week for a lot of things. Obviously, we're getting our way through the earnings reports, and a lot of big names are going to get released next week. So pay attention to those earnings reports and the executive reviews of those as well. But more importantly, if you're an economy watcher, there is a bunch of news, and we're going to start on Wednesday with the Fed.
Right. The FOMC will announce their latest rate hike. We're expecting it to be 75 basis points, which would now lift the Fed funds rate to 2.5%, which is roughly the neutral rate, at least as far as I can tell from what they've been saying. Also, we're going to have a jobs report on Friday, and we have any number of large cap tech companies reporting: Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Ford, Amazon, Apple. Even Tilray, the cannabis company, will be reporting next week.
They will. And so Thursday, the Commerce Department also is going to take its first cut at the second quarter growth rate. And even though the Atlanta Fed had us as negative, the whisper number from the Commerce Department is just slightly positive. So we're going to all watch this because, you know, air quotes for radio, people have been calling us in a technical recession if we have back-to-back negative reports. But, you know, there's more to it than those two factors, Derek, and that's because there is a group that actually tells us if we're in a recession or not.
And they consider more criteria than just the two consecutive quarters of negative real GDP. They think about unemployment rates and the rest. And, you know, as we talked about last time when we were talking about the last jobs report, I mean, unemployment at 3.6 does not suggest a recession to me.
Yeah, that's right. And then, of course, lastly, as you indicated, on Friday, we're going to get personal income and consumption. The PCE is what it's called. And, of course, the Fed likes to look at the PCE number. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, of course, that does look backwards. But as you know, oil is now trading under $100 a barrel. And you'll see it when you go to the gas station because prices have come down.
Right. And food prices are down significantly as well. The other thing the Fed does, too, is they look at leading data. They look at market-based measures. And they also look at soft data like the Michigan Survey of Consumer Confidence. So there are any number of things that the Fed watches. I think you got to be really, really careful right now about investing based on headlines concerning the Fed, because at a moment's notice, they could simply say, you know what, we've raised rates enough. Let's see how the economy progresses. And I think that could lead to a very sharp rally.
You know, and we get stuck in that ourselves, you know, talking about the Fed an awful lot. But, you know, we were certainly pounding the table that they weren't acting quick enough. And here we are with inflation got away from them, frankly. And it's hard for that to turn around just by raising short-term interest rates, because some of it is sticky. Things like wages and rents just can't be turned around by raising the short-term interest rate. So when we talk about the Fed, we are slightly skeptical as well. And I think that's a good point, is not to put all your chips on what they say. But more importantly, and the companies that you own, the mutual funds that you're in, the asset allocation that you own, and that's really where we spend most of our time when we talk about investments.
The other thing that I've noticed, too, is there's been a really sharp rotation. You're starting to see some of the growth stocks that had been truly hammered throughout most of this year start to trade a lot better. I'm not talking about the ones that trade more than 10 times revenues, but, you know, companies like Apple have actually had a very sharp rally in a very short period of time.
And so, folks, when you're going through your portfolio, and I know you hear us all the time talking about what you own and why you own, and those, you know, our clients, of course, know that we go through this. If you're doing it yourself, if you have another advisor, and you don't know what you own or why it's in your portfolio or how much you're paying for it, it is time to go through the exercise. We make it so simple, Danny.
We sure do. It's heading to our website. In fact, you can do it on a weekend. And I'll tell you this, folks, before the new week hits and you get busy, now is a great time to take a couple of minutes. You fill out the contact form on our website with that Get Started button. We promise we're not going to bug you. So many times I sign up for something on a website because I want to get more information, and wham, right away I start getting bugged. We don't do that. So we can talk next week. But again, for investment and retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning, we do it as a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. The plan is built for you. It's a complete plan using the power of the entire Annex team. And we do it as a fee-only fiduciary, talking about complete fee transparency. Dave Spano, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, this was fun.
Derek Felsky, thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
And folks, again, if we can help, head to our website. It's annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Hope to see you here next Sunday at noon, right here, 92.5 Fox News.
The Annex Wealth Management Show is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation.